For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And happy Buddha's birthday. So, a number of components that I want to discuss, introduce. So, first of all, we chanted the inconceivable lifespan of Buddha from the Lotus Sutra, which was the most important sutra for Dogen, founder of our Soto Zen tradition. Very important sutra. And in the center of that sutra, there's a revelation by Shakyamuni Buddha that in reality, or one reality, he only appears to be born, to leave the palace, find awakening, and then pass away. So, that's one story, and it's important for us because it indicates how Buddha is still with us, still alive. Buddha is alive in Sangha, Buddha is alive in our practice, Buddha is alive in our Zazen, and in our sharing of Dharma. So Buddha does appear to be born and awaken under the Bodhi tree, and after leaving home, and then eventually pass away after 40-some years of teaching. And these are all true, these different stories. So even if they seem contradictory, these are stories from our tradition. And there's an interesting story about the birth of the baby Buddha. And we, since we're doing this practice period, some of us on the teachings of Hongzhe, an important teacher in our lineage in the century before Dogen, I'm going to read some of what Hongzhe said on the occasion of Buddha's birthday and bathing baby Buddha, as recorded in Dogen's extensive record. But first, the story about the birth of the baby Buddha that has been passed down is that when he was born, he immediately stood up, took seven steps forward, pointed to the heaven and earth and the statue we have of baby Buddha in front of our main altar shows him pointing up and down. That he then announced below the heavens and above the earth, there's different versions of this, but below the heavens and above the earth, I alone am the world honored one. So then he took seven steps in the next direction and did the same thing, pointed up and down and announced this, and he did this in all directions. Well, I don't know if he did it in the 10 directions, which would include taking seven steps up and seven steps down. Anyway, this is the story that is commemorated in the Zen tradition and other traditions of Buddhism. So, traditional, going back, long way back into China, I'm not sure about India or Tibet, I don't know, but or if there's a Buddha's birthday ceremony called Vaisak in South Asia. I don't know if they bathe the baby Buddha, but in our tradition we do, as we have done with the people here in the room this morning. And so this is celebration of Buddha's birthday, and that Buddha was born and shared his teaching with us after awakening himself and awakening all beings. So we've been doing this practice period here looking at the teachings of Hongzhe Zhangzhui, who was in the early 12th century the most celebrated and important teacher in our Chinese Zhaodong. And we have, in his recorded sayings, there are a number of these ceremonies that are discourses that Hongzhe gave on the occasion of Buddha's birthday and bathing the baby Buddha. A couple of them are recorded in Dogen's extensive record later, so I'm going to read those in the spirit of appreciating Hongzhe. But I'll also read Dogen's comments on them. So, on the occasion of Buddha's birthday and bathing the baby Buddha, in 1247, Hongzhe said, "When the pure water of emptiness of self-nature and the radiant body of the Dharma realm are only faintly distinguished, then this person is born." So one story is that Buddha is born to help us awaken in difficult times. Hongzhe continues, "Without cleansing the dust from the body, because of this water's wonderful touch, he expresses clear realization. I ask you, for many years he has been departed. So how can he return to be near us today? How is Buddha still with us?" On this day, he continues, 2,000 years ago, he pointed to heaven and to earth and gave the lion's roar. So the lion's roar is that he said, above the earth and below the heavens, I alone am the world honored one. And Hongzhe says that this was 2,000 years ago. As our understanding of history is that Shakyamuni lived 2,500 years ago, even though they had a different understanding of history in Hongzhe and Dogen's time. They put Shakyamuni back further. Anyway, so Hongzhe says, on this day 2,000 years ago, he pointed to heaven and to earth and gave the lion's roar. But then Hongzhe quotes the great ancestor Yunmen from the 900s, founder of one of the five houses of Chan, whose many of the traditional teaching stories are poems. Hongzhe says, "Yunmen remained at war while thinking about great peace by saying that he would kill the baby Buddha and assuredly feed him to the dogs." So Yunmen said radical things like that. He was kind of idiosyncratic and cut through our usual sacred ways of seeing things in Buddhism. Pope Hongzhe says about the saying of Buddha, "This is pointing east and calling it west, thinking non-existence into existence. Although I pour foul water on you, don't get angry." Speaking to the baby Buddha, "Now that I see you, how will you accept it?" Buddha said, "Not receiving any sensation is called right receiving. If you practice like this, each drop falls on exactly the same spot." So this right receiving is a name for the samadhi of equanimity, where one is okay with whatever happens to us, whatever befalls us, positive, negative, neutral. Right receiving is just to settle into this samadhi, this concentration, where we accept everything as it comes. So, again, Hongzhe says, "I pour foul water on you, but don't get angry. Now that I see you, how will you accept it?" Buddha said, "Not receiving any sensation is called right receiving. If you practice like this, each drop falls on exactly the same spot." So that's what Hongzhe said in 1247. Dogen said about this talk from Hongzhe. Although the ancient Buddha Hongzhe said it like this, how should Ehe speak of the true meaning of this birthday? Dropping off the body within the 10,000 forms, naturally he had the conditions for this birth. In the single color after transforming the body, he saw the vital path afresh. What is the true meaning of our bathing the Buddha? So Dogen then says, dropping off the body within the 10,000 forms, naturally he had the conditions to be born as the bathing the Buddha. And dropping off the body, Dogen talks about dropping body and mind, letting go of our attachment to body and mind. As Zazen, as total awakening. So he's saying it's about the baby Buddha before he was born, and then he was able to be born as the baby Buddha. What he's saying is, but then he says, what is the true meaning of our bathing the Buddha? And after a pause, Dogen said, holding together our own broken wooden ladle, we pour water on his head to bathe the body of the Tathagata, of the Gohanipa. So Dogen talks about our own broken wooden ladle. We had a very sturdy metal ladle that we were bathing the baby Buddha with this morning. So following up on that, about this strange ceremony you do of pouring water over the baby Buddha to celebrate his birth. On the following year, 1248, Dogen quoted Hongzhe again. When Zen Master Hongzhe was abbot at Qiantong, in the Dharma Hall discourse upon bathing Buddha, he said, and just to note that Hongzhe was at the abbot of Qiantong Monastery, so he's sometimes called Qiantong Hongzhe, as in the Book of Serenity, where he picked the cases and verses. Dogen was awakened and received transmission from his own teacher, Rujin, who was also the abbot of Qiantong Monastery later on. He's called Qiantong Rujin sometime. Anyway, Dogen here quotes Hongzhe again, giving another discourse today on the birthday of baby Buddha. And sometimes it's said that today is the birthday of all Buddhas. So it is very auspicious for us to be here in this, at this crescendo, and all of you I can see online, to be here to celebrate the birthday of Buddha and the birthday of all Buddhas. So in some real way, happy birthday. This is your birthday too. Anyway, returning to Hongzhe, he said on one of these occasions, this is the completely clear water of the emptiness of self-nature, perfectly bright, pure wisdom body. Therefore, we do not need to wash the body right here. Not a speck of dust exists. This is quoting the sixth ancestor who, in this supposed poetry contest, said there's no dust on the mirror to wipe away. Everything is clear, pure, awakened from the very beginning. Buddha is sitting on your seat right now. It's all right here. So, Hongzhe says, we do not need to wash the body. Right here, not a speck of dust exists. So, he has become Buddha, overcome demons, reached that other shore, and departed this deluded riverbank. This side of the shore, the side of samsara, the side of suffering. This Baba Wawa baby talk was at the beginning of Buddha's birth, Hongzhe says. Then this random crawling around became the cause for becoming Buddha. So, Hongzhe is making fun of the baby Buddha, or his crawling around, taking seven steps in all directions, making his proclamation. then Moshe addresses Shakyamuni. On this occasion, Shakyamuni Buddha, do not get angry at our pouring foul water on your head. And why don't you invoke the power of the Bhavakitishvara Bodhisattva? And then naturally this injury will rebound to the originator. So of course we pour sweet tea that our Tenso kindly prepared on the Baby Buddha this morning here in the Lincoln Square Center. But Hongzhe is noting another chant that we do sometimes, about Bhavakitishvara Kamsa and Bodhisattva, also from the Lotus Sutra, later in the Lotus Sutra, where it says if you just call on Bodhisattva for passion, Kanzayon, she will come to help you. And in one part of that, so there's a description, it's in our chant book and on our website on the chants. One aspect of that is that whatever kind of horrors assail you, tyrannical governments, others, injury, disease, just call on Hanzeon, and through her power, we'll be saved. And then one of the lines says that the injury will rebound to its originator. So, Zen is very playful. Hongzhe and Dogen are playing with these different stories and these different teachings and saying, Baby Buddha, if you feel like this water we're bathing you with is thou, just call on Panzeon and it will come back to whoever's bathing you. Anyway, then Hongzhe continues, benevolent people, what is it like just when the ladle for pouring water over the Buddha is in your hand? So for the people here in the Lincoln Square Zendo, it was in your hands. Hongzhe continues, without the cause of thoroughly studying a single thing, we cannot develop any wisdom. So, like Dogen does later, Hongzhe says, please study each dharma, please study each situation, please study the Buddha wisdom. And when Dogen or when Hongzhe talks about studying, they don't mean, reading lots of sutras and listening to lots of dharma talks, although that may be helpful sometimes, but it means just sit. Face the wall. Face yourself. Face our lives. So study of all of these ancient sayings by our great ancestors is only to support you in your practice. So Hongzhe and Dogen are encouraging us with this. So after reciting this long discourse by Hongzhe from an occasion of Buddha's birthday and bathing the baby Buddha, which was happening so this goes back at least to Hongzhe's time in the 1100s, but it goes back much further in China. And again, I'm not sure if this ceremony was done in India, but I think maybe so. Anyway, after quoting all of that, Dogen says, this ancient Buddha, my Dharma uncle, was from the branch of Phurong Gaokai and a disciple of Dansha Sichuan. So those are ancestors in our lineage. He calls him his Dharma uncle because Dansha Sichuan, Hanka Shijun in Japanese, was the teacher of Hongzhe, and he was also the teacher of Changlu Qingliao, from whom Dogen descends. So Hongzhe is the Dharma uncle for us. Anyway, although Hongzhe said it like this, Dogen continues, his descendant, Ehe Dogen, has a verse on this occasion. So this is Dogen's verse commenting on Hongzhe's
talk about bathing the baby Buddha as we have done here today too. Dogen says, at the time of his birth, 3,000 worlds trembled. At his awakening sight, under the Bodhi tree, 8,000 gates opened wide, pouring water over the head of his unstained body is an embarrassing scene of sincerity and prayer. So we sincerely take on these stories and our appreciation of our great ancestors, Shakyamuni and Hongzhe and Dogen, and we celebrate them today on the day that Buddha is born, that all Buddhas are born. So there's a lot to say about this. Again, we started off by chanting the Lotus Sutra, teaching about how Buddha has this inconceivably long lifespan, actually, but also he appears to be born. He appears to take these seven steps. He appears to later leave the palace and awaken under the Bodhi tree. This is the story of all Buddhas. We all started out in more or less relative comfort, or not like a prince, but not necessarily seeing the suffering of the world. Unfortunately, I wish that was the case for babies in Gaza now who are suffering famine and horrible treatments. But this pattern of at some point in our life deeply realizing the truth of suffering and then going off to practice and to see what we can do to awaken and let go of the suffering in our life and the suffering around us in our world. This is this ancient tradition of Buddhas that we are keeping alive and enacting today on Buddha's birthday. So happy birthday, everyone. So, you know, I mentioned Yunnan talking, Hongzhe mentioned Yunnan talking about disparaging baby Buddha for the story. Yunnan said that he would kill the baby Buddha and assuredly feed him to the dogs. Dogen also sometimes makes fun of this story about the baby Buddha. Wah, 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 wah. What nonsense. What arrogance, you know? This baby who's born and takes seven steps, the story goes, in all directions and proclaims, I alone and the world honored one. It's a funny story. It's celebrating how wonderful Buddha is, how wonderful it is to be awake, to partake of this awakening. And yet Dogen also teaches him for this event. So we have a little bit of time left. I imagine you might have responses to all of this, comments, or celebrations. So I'm interested in your comments. I can see you in the room, and David, you can help me with people online. So please share your responses. Micah, are you? Yeah.
I'm just curious, because it's new to me, why then do we do pouring up, say, sweet tea? What's the sort of...
Well, this is to honor and bathe and welcome the baby Buddha to the world. I don't know if there, you know, we have various ceremonies, so I've never given birth, maybe some people here have. I think the ceremony for new babies in our culture is to spank them on the bottom to get them crying. This is a kinder ceremony, pouring sweet tea over the baby Buddha. So, I don't know what the origins of this is. This ceremony, this enactment goes back very, very far in history.
Douglas's hand is raised.
Hey, Douglas.
Hi. I just wanted to say that in various versions of the birth of the Buddha, after his birth, there was sweet tea rained down upon the Buddha and all the people in attendance. So this is a reenactment in this ceremony. The Buddha is born today. That's it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there we go. It goes all the way back to the birth of Devi Buddha. And the sky, the very sky, rained down sweet tea on Buddha and the whole assembly as when he was born. There are various stories in the scriptures and the sutras, in the discourses of Shakyamuni, about flowers raining down on all the assembled. So, yes, Aishan.
Thank you. You know, I think that in many ways this is the story of every baby, and so every one of us, we do come into the world completely, you know, self-centric. And over time, we get disabused of that notion. Some, though, more kindly than others, you know, and when life, like, has a way of handing us, you know, reality that doesn't match with our beliefs. But it's, for many people, that is mediated, you know, by fortunate circumstances. But for many people, it's not. And it's not just, you know, babies in Gaza. There are babies being born right here in the U.S. and maybe even some of us who were disabused of some of our, you know, feelings of safety and being the center of the world, you know, in a very harsh way. And that can make it very hard to feel like we have anything to give to other beings. And so I think that is, you know, kind of points to some of the work of Buddha for all of us, is to, heal a little bit our own sense of, injury. And,
yes.
And in doing that, it makes it more possible to help others to heal their sense of their injuries.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, so Hongzhi talks about, and we've talked about this in this practice period, about doing the Buddha work, performing the Buddha work. So we're all doing that. We're performing the Buddha work by bathing the baby Buddha, performing the Buddha work by sitting upright and staring at the wall, watching our life, seeing the world and everything in our life and in the difficulties. So yes, this is what impelled Buddha, the story goes, to leave his palace and wander off looking for some way to help, to heal the world. So thank you, Misha. So there's a lot going on in these stories. Other comments, questions, responses? David Ray?
Turn the camera around. Taigen, I really appreciate that you share with us the satirical and aggressive, I think you used the word radical, commentaries on this, because it feels so psychologically healthy. There are lots of spiritual traditions have, ceremonies of honoring infancy of beings. And I'm really grateful that this one you know, both celebrates infantile, we could call it infantile grandiosity, infantile feeling of safety, infantile feeling of being the center of the universe that's all inside of us tender beings, and also acknowledges the, I don't know, also acknowledges the sort of aggression and irreverence, and I really appreciate it. Thich Nhat Hanh has a book, I think, on inner child work, and that's a thing that I'm thinking about in this regard. Just that all those different feelings get represented and welcomed in this space, and I'm very grateful for that.
Thank you, David. Yeah, Zen is famously iconoclastic, to use a technical term, that not being reverent and honoring, having rituals and ceremonies to honor Buddha and to honor awakening and to honor bodhisattvas, but also not getting too hung up on those, to see the humor in it. And I think part of the story goes that after, you know, the grandiosity of I alone in the world honoring him, and he was at that time, but then Shakyamuni, after the time, went back to being a sort of normal baby. I don't know how many of you remember your birth. Has anybody here done, there's a kind of psychological work of going back and remembering birth and past lives and all that stuff? I don't myself. I remember my sister's birth when I was 2.5. That's my first memory that I can identify. Anyway, but here we are. And, you know, part of this ceremony is that we can see how one reality is that we are always being born again. My first Dharma teacher said, he not busy being born is busy dying. So how do we see Buddha's birthday as our birthday today? How do we see new beginnings, transformations? The world is made up of transformations. Our Sangha is transforming. And this is a wonderful opportunity to see our lives and our practice freshly, with new perspectives. Any other comments, responses, reflections? Yes, Asha.
Just say one more thing. The first time I went to a Zen center was for a Buddha's birthday celebration.
Cool.
And that was because they were advertising it, because this was sort of pre-internet where you couldn't find things. And I saw, you know, a poster for Buddha's birthday celebration, and I was like, oh, this is what I've been looking for. And I didn't know there was a Zen center here. And so I went, and I'm very glad I did. So I think I just wanted to, welcome anyone who's here for the first time, or for anyone who's recently been here for the first time, even, to be here.
Yeah.
I'm glad you found us.
Everybody's welcome. And Mark Split is on our online, and he's a head of our promotions program now, and trying to let people know that we're here. And you can come to Buddha's birthday and other events here. So thank you. You know, so this for most of us, I don't think there's anybody here who was, whose parents were Buddhists, or who grew up Buddhist, maybe they will. There have been in our Sangha. But this is all strange and new to us. It really is. I sometimes forget that because I've been doing this for a long time. But this is foreign. This is some weird Asian ceremony.
But part of it is also, I wanted to say, about ancestors. Shakyamuni Buddha, Ongja, Dogen, that's one of the themes in Cultivating the Empty Field and Hongzhi's teaching, and I'll talk more about ancestors tomorrow evening. But it's important to realize part of what this ceremony is about is to see the range of time, to see time in a wide way, to see that we're connected to things that happened 2,500 years ago or more, Buddhas before Buddhas, to see that we're connected to people who lived in the 1100s or 1200s, or Suzuki Roshi back in the 1960s in San Francisco. And we have many ancestors. So I will be talking more about ancestors, because Hongzhi talks about ancestors. And that one thought of the 10,000 years goes beyond all of the difficulties that we feel now in our lives. So this is a ceremony of celebrating time, celebrating birth, celebrating death, celebrating how this ceremony of bathing baby Buddha goes back to Dogen in the 1200s, Hongzhi in the 1100s, and goes back to, as Douglas said, 2,500 years ago when the skies rained tea on the baby Buddha. So we can go beyond being caught up in the difficulties in our world right now. Not that we should ignore them, but how do we see this in the context of this wide range of time and of practice and of somehow, this is sort of miraculous, but somehow this practice of celebrating Buddha, celebrating awakening, of sitting upright, facing the wall, facing ourselves, this has continued since Hongzhi in the 1100s, Dogen in the 1200s, and here we are. And I'm so grateful. And just to appreciate that we have this wonderful Sangha, and that we have this practice and these teachings. And, you know, we can make fun of them like Yunnan did, and Dogen made fun of the baby Buddha crawling around, but we can also, we can playfully celebrate that we have this long, long lineage of ancestors who were doing this practice too. That's kind of a miracle. So, any last comments, responses, questions, interjections, whatever? Here in Lincoln Square or online. Brian has something to say.
Just a quick observation, which others may already have made. I'm with my sister and my father. My father's in the hospital, but I found a way to, through the magic of Zoom, take part. And the concept of birth, of course, symbolically or even literally, the concept of beginner's mind, it is always the Buddha's birthday, every moment. If the birthing of awakened mind when we either sit zazen or have a moment of mindfulness or that kind of thing. So it just occurred to me to say that, and I don't know if I'm piggybacking on something someone else said.
No, that's true. All Buddhas are born today, and Yunnan also said, in addition to teasing the baby Buddha, he said, every day is a good day. So today is a good day to be born. Maybe it's a good day to die too. Hopefully not, that won't be the fate of any of us. Please take care of this precious life and this precious practice and this precious sangha. Beings are numberless, we bow.
to free them. Illusions are inexhaustible. We have to cut through them. Surpassable, we vow to realize it. Beings are numberless, we vow to free them. Illusions are inexhaustible, we vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless, we
surpassable, we vow to realize it.